Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. Chris, this episode, we are going to have call-ins, finally. We haven't done it in a long time. That's following 2 weeks of incredible analysis from Dave Syvertson and Rick Saratella. And, you know, look, we'll talk about the Dable presser that, you know, obviously you attended. But, dude, I don't know, man. Last couple of days I've been thinking about this, and I know I'm stating the obvious, but, you know, picking fifth and seventh. Right. And I know we may trade down from seven or even five, but more likely seven. Chris, you come up with, like, 12 guys, dude, that, like, I'd be ecstatic to get almost any of them, right? And we have two picks there. And I'm just so happy to have – I think you said it. I said it in the article that was printed this week. I'm just happy to have guys in charge that seem like they know what the hell they're doing. You know, again, it remains to be seen what they're going to do. But Chris, I think the enthusiasm in Giant Nation right now is pretty palpable. I'm just psyched to have two picks, man, with you know, at 5 and 7 with 12 to 15 guys that, I'd be happy as long as we get a line. I'd be happy with any of them, dude. That's just that's where I am right now, buddy.
Right. And Jerry, you know, to tell you the truth, man, I wasn't even counting Derek Stingley as one of those guys. And now you see him at his pro day doing the vertical leaps, the broad jumps, and now you see him run the 40 in a 4.37, I believe, or 4.34, right around there.
Yeah.
I think maybe LSU had him timed one, some scouts had him, but it was right around there. It wasn't like it was 4.5 and one guy had him 4.3. You know, it was
under 4.4, right? Yeah.
It's under 4.4. And, dude, you know, we talked about all these guys, you know, who they could take at 5 and 7 and all that. And now you got to put Derek Stingley in the mix.
Yeah.
Because, folks, Derek Stingley is a better corner than Sauce Gardner. Some things have happened with the COVID, the injuries. And Rick Saratella was on here saying, listen, you know, you probably want to go with the safe bet, you know, without the injury. And it was a valid point by Rick, and I get it. But when you look at Stingley, and like if Stingley only half-assed it in his pro day today, I'd be like, oh, something's going on. You know, Jerry, I'd be like,
right,
he's trying to shade something, you know?
Yeah.
But he went all out today. He showed the NFL world today, I'm healthy, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've talked about this, Jerry, and Rick talked about it, and Dave Syvertson came on, and we were talking about it, right, the three of us, that kid in 2019 was one of the best two freshman corners I've ever seen.
Yeah, Syvertson said if he's healthy, he's his number one.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry, to me, I had Sauce because I didn't know about Stingley's health.
Yep.
But you look at Stingley today, and it's like, okay, well, I'm putting him in front of Sauce. I'm sorry. But the point, you know what, Jerry? No matter which way the Giants go, even if Stingley's there, right, and they go Sauce, whatever reason, what they like better. You can't go wrong, Jerry.
No.
You know? If they change their mind, like if they're sitting there today and the Giants sent Jerome Henderson, their secondary coach, to the LSU Pro Day today. And Jerome is a highly thought of coach, bro.
Yeah.
He's retained by Dable. You know. Love him. You know, players love him. I thought he did wonders with the Giants last year when they were really injured, you know. And anyway, he was down there today. So, you know, if they come back and they say, well, you know what? Derek looks like he's 100%, this kid. We're going to go with him. Fine. If they go with Sauce and they leave Stingley out there, okay.
Right.
If they decide to go corner with one of those picks, you know. So, Jerry, to me, this is just an added bonus for the Giants today, watching Derek Stingley work out, and this is going to be another corner and another choice for the Giants of what they want to do. And like we talked about it before, Jerry, you know, Bradbury's not going to be here, you know, one way or the other, either whatever they do with him, either a trade at draft day or whatever, you know, wherever it's going to be, Jerry, the chances are he's not going to be here.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to go corner, you know, they might go corner. I don't know definitely, but they might go corner one of those two picks if they keep both. But man, Jerry, you know, they're gonna, one of those kids is going to be there for the Giants at seven. Yeah. Most likely. You know, if they want to go that route, dude.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good sign, man. And that's, you know, that's just some more good news for Joe Shane today when you saw Derek Stingley's pro day.
Chris, there's so many scenarios, and I want to overanalyze it, but what the hell? There's nothing else to do, right? The draft's still a few weeks away.
Yeah, that's what we have fun doing, yeah.
Right. Say you have Neil and Aquanu available at five, right? Just say they're there. But you have Stingley or Walker or Thibodeau, and they're there. Somebody's there. You have them higher than those two. You're still going to get one of them at seven. I'm just saying, I know the conventional wisdom thing is that they're going to take one of those two tackles at five. I get it. Yeah. But if they're both there and you have someone higher than them, you know, you're going to get one of them at seven if you don't trade down. So look, there's a lot of scenarios, but I just think about that today. Like, man, could that happen? I guess it could. I don't know.
Jerry, we don't know, bro.
Yeah.
We won't know until the 28th.
Yeah.
But no matter what, Jerry, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll want to lay the foundation this year.
Yeah.
And when these two draft picks, or one, or they trade back a little bit, it's going to be two anyway, right?
Yeah.
Are going to start laying that foundation. Okay?
Yeah.
I looked at his pro day today, Jerry, and I said, wow, this is great news for the Giants, bro.
Yeah.
This is great news because if they're thinking, most likely Bradbury's not going to be here, and they might go with that big corner. We all know Wink's system, Martindale. Dude, they're going to get a blue chipper at corner if they want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you know, the Jets, they're a wild, you know, nobody knows what they're going to do it for. They might go
Texans too.
After today, Jerry, I'm sorry, dude. You have to put Stingley 1 and then Sauce Gardner 1A, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how this plays out. And, you know, one of those big kids tackles, looks like one of them is going to be there for sure. And if they want to go edge at 7 or corner at 7 or, oh, Jerry, like you said, dude, there's going to be a lot of options and all positive, dude, right? Yeah, all positive, man. The only way, Jerry, the only damper on draft night is if they take some Joe Schmo from 7th overall that we're like, what? Right? That's the only thing I could. And this organization has done that before, okay?
Yeah,
they've done that. Not Joe Shane. This is his first draft with us, right? So we don't know what's going to happen. Right. And I don't expect that to happen with these guys, Jerry. So it's going to be interesting, dude. I want to bring up something else too, Jerry. You know, we're going to talk. Obviously, we're talking draft, and we're going to have some people calling in. They're going to be talking draft, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I want to get your opinion on this, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So each team is allowed 30 kids to come in, right, and visit, right, for your organization. The Giants have had 3 running backs come in.
Yeah, yeah.
3.
Yeah.
I get it, you know. They're not going with a running back in the first round, dude.
No.
They're probably not going to go with a running back in the second round, dude. But they're going to go running back in this draft. I think that's a telltale. So they love, I know this for a fact, they love James Cook. Love him.
Yeah.
Okay? I think you even put that in your article that you said, you know, that you were hearing that they really like. Well, you're right, dude. They love him. Love him. And is what, honestly, what's not to love? But the point I'm getting at,
and plus, by the way, Georgia. I mean, the Giants are in love with Georgia.
Yeah, so. Well, you know what, Jerry? We'll see how much this regime's in love with Georgia.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good point.
Because we all know Gettleman was, right? But we'll see how much this regime. But, Jerry, how could you not be in love with them? Yeah. I mean, come on. They're the national champions. They got talent up the butt.
Yeah.
You know, so, Jerry, I see that. And I know you're doing your due diligence, but I'm looking at that and saying, boy, without question, this is Barkley's last year as a Giant. If he's even on this roster. And I'm not even going to 100% predict that. I think there's still a chance something happens with Saquon at draft time and ever. Of course, you know, if you free up Bradberry and him, you're looking at, you know, around 16, 17, 18 million that you're freeing up, and you'll be good for the rest of the year. Jerry, look, dude, I looked at that and I said to myself, man, this is Saquon's last year as a Giant, if he's even on the roster in 22. What's your feeling on that?
I agree. And it's a perfect storm of contract, injuries, everything. It's, you know, the fact that he's in what his, this is his 18, 19, 20, 21,
20,
20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, this will be his fifth year, right?
Yeah.
He's had the injury issues. It's the perfect storm for the Giants to kind of move on and see what they can get for him. I don't know even what they could get for him if they trade him. I wouldn't be surprised if they get better than a third or fourth, but I think they're going to move on. I think it's obvious they want to move on. It's just a matter of when, dude. I mean, I think I wrote my article, unless he gets 2,000 yards this year and like another 700 receiving.
I think they'll still move on.
Yeah, right. They probably will. They'll say, well, we improved this offensive line, so anybody can do this. So I don't know, man.
And folks, this isn't a knock on Saquon Barkley. This is not a knock on Saquon, all right? This is not a knock on his talent. This is a philosophical difference now with this regime coming in, who drafted a Singletary in the third round in Buffalo, Zach Bosses, and brought in the other Matt Breeders for a year and stuff like that. Okay, this has nothing to do with Saquon, and this is not saying, hey, this kid is done. This kid will never be back to his rookie year. No, this kid could come out this year and rush for 1,400 yards, dude.
Right.
He could have 70 catches for another 600 yards. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not about Saquon. This is not about the kid is a tomato. He's going to get hurt again. They don't think he's talented. No. It's a philosophical difference, bro. This is, you know, you saw what they did in Buffalo. You know, let's put it this way, Jerry. Do you think Joe Shane would have drafted a running back second overall in 2018?
No. No way.
No. So. No. They're going to get that contract out of there if they, you know, even if Saquon's back this year, fine. If not, next year he won't be a Giant. I think when you see these kids, numerous running backs coming in, I just say to myself, man, they're going to draft one. I don't know what round, third or fourth round, whatever it's going to be, Jerry, and they're going to move on from Saquon. That's the impression I get, bro.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's a smart move as well. Especially, like I said, based on where they are contract-wise, he's not going to get a second contract. They're going to move on, and that's why they're looking so hard at a running back, and they're valuing the running back in the right spot, right? If they're looking at the third, fourth round, you know, that's where they should be looking. And if they fall in love with one or two guys, it is what it is. You draft, you know, maybe draft one in the third, even take a flyer on someone in the sixth, what they're thinking. But, yeah, I agree with you, dude. I think they're going to move on. Also this week was Dable's presser. You know, you want to cover that a bit? Anything that came out of that that you found interesting?
Look, Dable talked about having his assistant coaches go to some of these pro days, you know, and all that. And, you know, a lot of times it's scouts or him or, you know, or GM or both or whatever it might be. And, yeah, but you see what happened today. Jerome Henderson's down at LSU.
Yeah.
He made a point of saying, hey, listen, you know, I have trust, I have faith in my coaches, you know, and the more eyes, the better.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was pretty smart move by Dable. And, you know, he just talked about, you know, the first few months. Now, they had their first voluntary workout Monday, and most people were there. I think there was like 10, 15 guys, and right around 10 that didn't, wasn't there.
Yeah.
And look, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, sure.
Look, a lot of people want to know what the hell's going on with Kadarius Toney, right? So after what last year, a lot of people don't have faith in him. A lot of people do. Me personally, it's the second year. A lot of things happened last year, but it's the second year. He's the number one pick. The kid Flash, you know, let's get it rolling, right? So I was curious to see if he was going to show up. Now, I don't know the reason. Pretty funny. Somebody did whisper in my ear that, Toney didn't show up. I noticed nobody else wanted to report that on Twitter. I guess because I got it first. I don't know. I noticed nobody else really put that out there. Did you notice that, Jerry?
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, you know. Anyway, but Tony wasn't there. Bradbury, which we kind of expected, he didn't show up. You know, yeah. Not that he didn't show up, but he wasn't there. Now, look, they could have had great reasons or whatever. You know, I put that on Twitter. Listen, could have had a solid reason. I'm sure Dable knows the reason. But a lot of people didn't like the look. And I'm not going to condemn anybody because I don't know why Kadarius wasn't there. But it's my job when somebody whispers in my ear, when I ask somebody, hey, you know, who wasn't there, was, you know, this guy, and they get back to me, this guy wasn't there, this guy wasn't there. You know, people want to know. People were asking before I even reported it. Was Tony there? Was Tony there? Was Bradbury there? Well, you know, I found out, you know. And that's the point. Now, I'm not kidding. This means nothing, Jerry. When this kid comes in, works hard, and has 85 catches next year, 75 catches, nobody's going to give a flying you-know-what about April 4th. But it is my job as a guy covering the team to report who's there, who might not be there. And, you know, some other, I heard about
look, and, Chris, you know, I'll be honest with you.
I didn't have all the names, actually. I just, you know, I asked about him.
Chris, I'll be honest with you. I think he should have showed up. And I don't know what, unless it was an emergency, it's a new coaching regime. I don't know, man. You're not proven. That game against Dallas was a long time ago. I don't know. Look, again, if he shows up to the next, you know, he shows up and kills it in camp and all that, and okay, fine. But I just saw that, and it's like, all right, okay, already we're starting with this. As a fan, again, totally as a fan, it's, come on, Kadarius, please, show up, will you? Unless it was something earth-shattering or you had to tend to family, whatever, you know, obviously that's off the table. But I just, first thing I thought of was, dude, come on, will you please show up?
Yeah, and I'm sure he will be, Jerry. I don't know what happened. So we can't rush the judgment. I know the initial reaction is, oh, come on. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I get it. You know, I get it. I really do. I understand the initial reaction, but I just reported it. He might be there the whole off-season program from now on.
Well, it was good you reported it because I think people like me, or anybody, wanted to know. And there was one person we thought of right away. Did he show up? No. Okay.
And don't look down on him. I know people are pissed. I get it. Trust me, Jerry. When somebody told me, "Yeah, he's not here," and that's the way it was worded to me, like with disgust. he's not here. Right. But you know, look, I asked Dable, at his press. You know, was he happy with his attendance? And he said, "Yeah, we had a packed house. You know, the whole deal."
Yeah.
And you know, guys like Leonard Williams, veterans were there. Look, Jerry, it's a new head coach. Most guys want to get in and.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They want to show the coach, hey, I'm here. Trust me.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Make a good impression. Yep.
But I don't know the reason. I didn't even try to find out the reason. I just, you know, reported. You know, and I was curious myself, of course, you know, of some of the issues, you know, the first season about, you know, this, that, injuries and people. But don't worry. Like I put on Twitter, hey, look, folks, don't get crazy about it. It's April 4th. And I meant that. You know, it's April 4th. You know, look, Jerry, now next month, when I'm at the OTAs, and if you're skipping those, and it's like, you know, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? We're trying to build something here, you know?
Right.
But a voluntary workout where they basically were in the gym, you know, doing stuff like that. Nobody was on the field. Nobody was doing nothing like that. So don't get crazy over it. But it's something, you know, just we'll keep an eye on it during the season. Voluntary OTAs, if he does miss a lot, whatever it is, and then we got to start asking, what are we doing here? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, you know. And Jerry, no matter what the coaches say, hey, it's voluntary, it's voluntary, it's voluntary. You know it's not voluntary to them, you know?
Exactly, right.
So.
Right.
Daniel, talking about some other things. We spoke to a few of the guys that day. Daniel was one of them. And look, good news. Daniel told us that he's been cleared and he will be cleared for contact over the summer.
Right.
So he looks like his issue is resolved.
Yes.
And Daniel will be good to go. Xavier McKinney, very excited. I put this on Twitter. I put it in an article, The Insider. I don't remember which one it was yet, but I interviewed McKinney, as you know. You know, we put it in the paper. last December, I think it was, whatever it was. And he did tell me, I think I reported it, that, you know, at times playing that deep half, he got bored at times.
Yeah.
He goes, and he laughed at me. He goes, you know, I get bored at times. I admit it, you know, but it's my job to stay focused and all that.
Yep.
So I did ask him, you know, are you excited to be in Wink's system, Martindale's system? And he was kind of like, yeah, I am. You know, looking at, you know, looking, because he's going to be doing a lot more now, Jerry.
Right.
With this in his system, you know, so he was pretty excited about that. He also talked about, you know, he's going to be, you know, taking on more of a leadership role. Although he said, he goes, I've been a leader from day one, you know, but obviously with Logan Ryan not here, Jerry.
Right.
I don't see any veteran safeties coming in, maybe, but he's the leader, dude.
Yeah.
You know, he's the leader on the back end. You know, he's going to be the, you know, he's going to be a possible Pro Bowl safety next year. And he's going to be a guy that Jerome Henderson and Wink Martindale are going to look for as a leader. You know, you're going to have Blake up front, and you're going to have Zay in the back, McKinney in the back, bro. You know?
Yeah, he's also one of the guys that I think most Giant fans are ecstatic about, him and Andrew Thomas. Really, like, he's a guy that everybody kind of is very psyched about where he goes from here. He's been, you know, in a really short time, he played a full season in, what, like two, three games the year before.
Yeah.
But he showed a lot of big playability. Smart kid, good safety. You know, look, Gettleman did a lot of wrongs, but that was a very good pick. And I think Giant fans are just pumped about him, dude.
You know, it's funny, Jerry, if they draft like a Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be on the back burner. Everybody's just going to be excited about that kid.
Oh, totally, yeah. I mean, I think guys like that, like Walker, like even Kyle Hamilton, I think then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I know we have the new guy now. What did Saratella say? If Thibodeau gets drafted by the Giants, then he's already the best player on the team.
Yeah. So. I don't know about that. Rick's very high on him, but we'll wait on that one. Yeah. But I know what he's saying. You know, I get what he's saying. You know, but he's going to be the most exciting kid, Jerry, that people will be looking for, because he's got that flash about him, you know, and he's an edge guy. And all. Jerry, I got to ask you something, bro.
Yeah. I mean,
dude, I cannot believe what is happening in this league at the wide receiver position.
It's
you see the money Diggs got.
It's insane.
And it's like there's more millionaire, more guys making average per year money wise than edge guys in this league.
Yeah.
I don't say to myself, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Jerry, I just find it mind boggling how the receiver position is kind of elevated over one of the primary positions in this league. I think it's crazy. You could always replenish the receivers. There's so many guys coming out this year. You know, I just find it amazing how the league has changed, man, in the last few years, and what the money these receivers are making, man.
Yeah, I look at receiver almost like kind of like running back. Like, they last longer. So from that standpoint, it's different. But are you going to pay a receiver that much money? I mean, it's quarterback, it's left tackle, it's edge rusher. That's how you build the team. I think we've learned this, right?
Yeah.
I'm stunned as you are, dude. I keep seeing these amounts. And what's like Jamar Chase going to ask for? $100 million a year?
Oh my God.
He can ask for anything and get it.
I mean, when him and Justin Jefferson are free agents, man, what the hell are they going to get?
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Do you really want to start dipping 30 plus million a year for a receiver?
It's going to be crazy. Crazy.
Oh, my God. It's amazing, Jerry. You know, it's that Christian Kirk and then obviously the Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams contracts have blown it out of the water. And if you want to keep a star receiver, that's what you're looking at now. And if you have a star quarterback, Jerry, what do? You got to spend 60, 70 plus million of your cap for two positions. One of them being a receiver?
That's insane, dude. It's absolutely insane.
Woof, it's crazy, bro.
And you already tie up so much. You know, you already tie up so much at quarterback, and are you willing to do that at receiver? That's nuts.
Galladay's 17 million, whatever he's getting. That seems like nothing now, right? That seems like nothing now.
Yeah, even if he returns to the Kenny Galladay that we know and love in Detroit. Like you said, it seems like nothing. So,
Shepard spoke with us, Jerry, and Blake Martinez. And Shepard, you know, listen, he admitted he was going back and forth whether or not to take a pay cut. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he wanted to be here. The Giants told him they want to work. Look, the Giants could have walked away from him, dude.
Right.
They could have walked away from him.
Yeah.
Very easily, you know. But they wanted him, too. They wanted him, you know. Yeah. Shep realized it's a business. He weighed the pros and cons and said, hey, I want to be here. You know, and look, when Dable was introduced, when Shane was introduced, Shep was there on crutches, dude. He was right next to me. He was there with those presses.
Right.
And he was shaking hands with Shane. You know, he was meeting their families. And Shep loves it here, man. And he says, listen, it'll work out. I decided to stay here. I wanted to stay here. And whatever down the road happens, he's just working on coming back, Jerry, getting back.
Right.
And being that reliable target for Daniel that we know, that we've seen, right? We've seen that. Yeah. That's his favorite target, Jerry.
Yep.
We know that, right? When Shep is healthy, that's who Daniel looks for a lot of the time. That's his guy. You know, that's his guy. So
He's the security blanket. Yeah, you want him back healthy. It'd be nice if he can just, play a full season healthy, see what he can do with Jones.
You know, so that's his guy. They work well together, and Shep's working his way back, and he'll be back another year, and we'll see where it goes after that, Blake Martinez, he's on pace, Jerry. He looks like he's going to be good for training camp, if not maybe a couple weeks into camp. But it looks good for him for the season. And we talked about this numerous times, Jerry, that how much he was missed. Right. Blake was really missed. And he's going to really enjoy N'Kobe Dean next to him, Jerry. He's going to enjoy that. Nice. Are you there?
I'm fine, dude. I'd love it. That's what I mean, Chris. Like, Chrissy, if they have the sort of reach for him at 7, I'm not that mad about it. It's like, well, you probably could have got him at 12, but I don't care. Like, again, I it's not the smart pick at 7, but would I be nuclear over it? No.
No. I'm reaching.
It is a reach, but I wouldn't. My point is, I wouldn't even care.
Yeah, right. I'm having some fun with it, but. It's gonna be interesting, Jerry. I think I didn't have running back in play, Jerry, on my mock draft, the one I gave to you for the insider. I didn't even have a running back.
Yeah.
If I had to do it today, Jerry, and you said, Chris, give me one now, I'd probably have a running back on one now.
Seeing
what's happening, Jerry, I probably have a running back on one now.
I also have Walker going 7 to the Giants. Probably he's going to go maybe 1 or 2 now. Again, these guys are like stocks. They rise and fall. And now, he's the latest craze, right? And now Hutchinson, is he going to really go 1? I still think he's going to go 1. But
yeah, Jerry, this is the smoke time of year. A lot of people have Thibodeau dropping. I don't. Yeah. I think they're full of crap. I think they're still going to – somebody's still going to take him in the top 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jerry, I still think he goes in the top 4.
Yeah.
He's still the best all-around player in this draft, in my opinion. Yeah, even more than my boy Kyle, I put on Twitter my top 32 overall prospects, and I had Thibodeau number 1, dude. Now, what if he drops for other reasons? That's not my list. My list was just for pure prospect, overall talent, I feel is the top 32.
What would be your board?
Board. I'm taking the flash crap out of it. I'm taking this, taking that. Yeah. I'm just talking about my board.
Yeah.
So I think teams are full of crap. Some are, they're starting to throw these smokes. Oh, we're not taking. We're going to stay with. I think he goes to the top 4 still, Jerry. You'd be crazy to pass up on him, in my opinion.
I think he's going to be one of those guys that you'd be afraid to pass. That's why I have him going 2 overall. I think someone like Detroit, even the Texans, will say, I can't pass on this kid. I'm going to have. Right. I have to almost have to take him. Could be wrong, but
right. I mean,
I'll be happy if he falls to 5 or 7. But
yeah, Jerry, I mean, you can still see Hutchinson and him 1-2, right?
Yeah,
you can still see him 1-2.
Yeah,
Houston maybe going with a Hamilton, maybe taking a big tackle,
Yeah,
and then the Jets. I don't know what the Jets are gonna do. The Jets need so much. Who knows what they're gonna do? They'd be crazy not to take defense because
who knows what they're capable of, right?
Yeah, look, they were one of the worst defenses, if not the worst, last year, and they need defense, bro. And they need a corner. They need a number one corner. They went out and they got Reed from Seattle in the offseason. He's not a number one corner, Reed.
Right.
He's a good corner. He's developed to a nice number two corner. He's not a legit number one corner. I think the Jets are looking for that. I could see them going with a Sauce or even a Stingley now, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the Giants are lined up for one of those big boys.
Yeah.
But that's the way I see it. But it could change. We'll see. I think there's a lot of team's starting to blow the smoke out there now. They're blowing smoke up people's, now, dude. Yeah. Oh, no, it's Thibodeau. Thibodeau, no.
You know, he said he's the best player in the draft. He's doing interviews with no shirts. Ah, oh, I don't trust this kid. Yeah, okay. You know,
right.
So, right. You know, watch the film and watch him when you watch Oregon. You say, ugh, man, you know.
Yeah.
I do trust him, you know. You know, so we'll see what happens, bro.
Adriana, I will admit her. Here we go. Adriana Iafola. Oh, my God, it's been forever. There she is.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Finally. Nice to meet you finally.
I know, you too. This is great. I'm excited to join.
Awesome. What's
going
on?
Where are you from? Where are you living? Where are you living?
So I'm actually, I live in Connecticut now. I moved here about a year ago.
Okay. I remember you saying something like that. Right. Okay.
Where are you from in Jersey?
Ramsey.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Up in Bergen. Yeah.
Giants territory. I wonder why you're a Giant, diehard Giants fan.
Yes. The problem is my husband's from Boston, a Patriots fan.
Is he a Red Sox fan?
Yes.
Is he? Oh, he's a smart guy, huh? He's a brilliant guy, huh?
He doesn't really follow them that well. We actually went to the ALCS game at Fenway, the one when the Yankees lost. Oh, it was brutal.
Yeah, what else is new? What was brutal about it?
There it is, Chris. Yes. What else?
What's
is
so
new?
Brutal about it?
Nothing worse than losing at Fenway.
Speak for yourself there, kiddo.
I would say losing in Philly is that much worse for New York fans. But anyway, what's up?
That's fair. I have a kind of funny story for you guys, and then I want to ask you about wide receiver.
Sure.
So last week, I was one of the lucky people who got one of the Buffoon Crew magnets when you guys had the map. I finally got Giants. Played about a year ago because my car was still registered in New Jersey. So I was all excited to have my Giants vanity plates and had a Buffoon Crew sticker on the back of my car. So last week I'm driving home from the gym and I got T-boned semi truck and I'm totally fine. I had, you know, soreness and whatever, but I managed to walk out of the car and was okay. But I'm sitting in my husband's car. Yeah, it was really scary. My car's completely totaled. All the airbags went off. But the airbags, honestly, miracle, completely saved me. He hit me right on the driver's side and I didn't have any injuries. Like it really was just soreness. So I made it okay. Yeah. I had to go and get a CAT scan and all that kind of stuff. But I'm sitting in my husband's car, you know, the police are there. It's a whole scene. The police are there. The, firefighters are there. An ambulance comes with the stretcher, the whole nine. So I'm, you know, relaying to the police what happens and everything. And, you know, they come over with the tow truck and they're like, all right, take whatever you guys want at the car. And my husband's sitting there and he's like, all right, I'll get, you know, your registration, whatever. And I'm like, get the Buffoon Crew sticker. I need to put it on my new car.
That's a great story. Awesome. We got to talk about that, Jerry.
That's awesome. So my husband's like, okay, so I think her brain's okay if she's, you know, registering this. So.
Oh, my God. That's fandom. That's good stuff,
Adriana. Well, Adriana.
Well, thank God you're okay.
Adriana, first off, thank God, like Jerry just said, thank God you're all right, man. I mean, that sounded like that could have been much worse.
Yeah.
So thank God, you know, everything is good with that. And look, we know you're one of the biggest supporters and I don't know how the hell you do it. I guess there's a link on it. I've asked people this before, but it seems like every time I throw a tweet out there, you hit like, or it's like instantly. Is that an automatic thing on Twitter? You could just hit like and.
No, you know, it's funny. My uncle asked me the same thing, notifications on for specific people. So like when you, the Giants and Eli tweet, it automatically comes up as a notification on my phone.
Gotcha.
So I can stay up to date. I also work from home, so I kind of had a lot of time on my hands. So.
Right. Okay. Well, listen, you know, me and Jerry, first of all, you know, like we said, thank God you're all right, man. And two, thanks for the support. We always see you on Twitter and stuff like that. And we're happy you appreciate our work. And hey, look, we wouldn't be doing this shit if it wasn't for people like you, to be honest with you. Right, Jerry?
That's right. That's right.
So what's on your mind? You want to talk something about receiver? Go ahead.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of mock drafts. And I know Rick was talking about some wide receivers last week. And the Giants have had some guys for, you know, college teams and whatever over the last couple of weeks talking about different receivers. Yeah. But I kind of feel like we're already stacked in that department. So I'm wondering, like, with a guy like Slayton, you know, when we have all these other guys in front of him and now there's talks of us drafting wide receivers, how many do you see them actually sticking? you think, you know, rookies are going to come in and be able to battle it out with the guys like Slayton and make it to the 53? I know last year, I think we kept, what, 6 on the roster, so.
Yeah, I think it was 6, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want me to try first?
Yeah, Jerry, yeah, jump in.
You know, I think I wrote this, that it's a deep group, but there's still a million question marks. Galladay's a question mark. Tony's a question mark. Shepard's health. You know, Slayton. Like, although right away you have 4 wide receivers, but, you know, I guess Galladay's the one by default, but they all have their issues, right? And then, you know, you have the Sills army, you know, behind them, right? I mean, you know, they signed a few guys that, you know, it's very excited about. I don't think they'll draft any. If they do, they may take a flyer on someone late. But I just think they have room right now, and they have too many unanswered questions about each one of them to decide, you know what, we're going to go early with a wideout. They may go late with one, but I think the second part of your question, if someone's drafted late, I think they have an excellent chance to be able to contribute because some of these guys, I mean, you may have all of a sudden, you have 4 in the room and now you have 2 in the room because of injuries or whatever. So I think this is a good year for a rookie to make an impact. But at the same time, I just wouldn't invest the draft capital early, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people ask about Darius Slayton. And I think, Adrian, I think if they were going to move on from him, they would have done it already. You know, it would have saved them like 2 points something on the cap. And that's something I think they would have moved on. So I expect to see Darius back. And hey, look, you know, like this changes all the time. At first, I was like, oh, there's no way they're going to take a receiver in this draft. And now you look at it and you see the way they're scouting these pro days. You know, hey, look, 4th round, 5th round, you could see it now. You know, you could see it. It's not a priority need for them, but you could see it because, like Jerry said, there's still a lot of question marks. Shep's not expected back to maybe September, October, maybe. Okay. Now, Shep's coming along. He's ahead of schedule, but still, you don't know. You know, a lot of people, he's coming off the Achilles, right, Adriana? And a lot of people got spoiled with Cam Akers last year. He came back from the Rams in like 4 months. That is unheard of, okay? Cam Akers for the Rams, that running back is like Superman. How the hell he came back from that injury and played in the same season is beyond belief. But so don't expect that ship to like September, October. Galladay's a guy, look, when you have a first and goal or you're inside that red area, Adriana, and you're in a high red, you're inside the 10, and your best receiver is on the sideline, that's a damn problem, okay? So we're not going to go back into the past with the Garrett and the Freddie Kitchen stuff. Forget about it. So they feel they're going to get a lot more to Galladay. But look, Slayton's a kid that you look at him and you see potential, but it's going to be what now, Jerry? Year 3 for him now, Slayton? 4? What is it going to be for him now?
19, 20,
right?
21, yeah. 22. Yeah.
So 4. 3, right, Jerry? And you look at him and say, okay, is he going to pan out? I don't know. You know, so could they go receiver 4th round or something? Yeah, I could see it. Definitely. I'm not taking it off the table. I can definitely see it. And look, you know what I found interesting, Adriana? They brought David Sills back.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were going to get rid of Slayton, so I was kind of surprised that they kept him.
So did I. Yep.
I had him as a possible cut, no question, but now he's still here. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. That doesn't mean he's going to make the 53, but, you know, he's going to come back. In my opinion, he'll be back. David Sills is very intriguing. You know, I was curious to see if they were going to bring him back, and they did sign him, and he's going to get a good look. He's going to get a serious look at training camp, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him.
And what do you think about Foster? Because he was a recent signing, too.
Yeah.
I'm more excited about Dante Pettis than I am Foster. How about that?
Pettis, I was surprised they kept him, too.
I liked him. Yeah, yeah.
Adrian, there's some guys that they brought in here, you know, offensive linemen and stuff like that, that they might not be on a 53, okay? They might not be. Foster's probably going to be one of them. You know, Dable knows him from Buffalo. He's going to bring him in here. He knows the system and all that. And they'll give him a look, but you're asking me right now, do you expect him on a 53? No, I don't. You know, I don't. Unless he has a big camp. So we'll see.
It'll be interesting.
Anything else in your mind?
One more thing, and then I'll let people come in. Chris, you guys were still on Zoom for these press conferences, right? When do you get back in the building? Do you know?
We'll be back in the building this year. Yeah. Okay. It's only because we didn't have access to the OTA Monday was the only reason we went on Zoom with Dable. But we are going in the building for the pre-draft presser, from what I understand. We'll be back in the building for the draft. And we have OTAs in May, including the rookie minicamp that we're supposed to be in the building for. And they're telling us right now, Adriana, that we're back in the locker room. Now, nice. Things could change, you know, with the COVID, the numbers, you know, everything like that. But as of now, it looks like we're going back to normal. So, which is going to be good for everybody, you know.
Adriana, what did you do to chime in for me to click on you? Because it's people are asking what they have to do here. I don't know why there's an issue this time.
There was a button underneath you guys that said, like live call in or something.
Okay.
And
so
I just pressed
go,
that. And then the pop-up came up and you had to, you know, allow the microphone and
got it.
Video and all that.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Should be right there. All right. Appreciate
well,
thank that. You guys.
Well, it's nice to finally meet you, Adriana. Awesome.
Yeah. Nice to meet you. And I'm glad you're all healthy and you came out all right with that, man. And, and good luck with everything, man. And how you
enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Like Connecticut, by the way.
So far, so good.
Like
we're in Southern Connecticut, so okay. there's more Giants fans than Pats fans, so that's great.
So are you near New Haven at all or no?
Further south. We're in Fairfield County.
So supposedly New Haven pizza is just, I don't know. That's what everybody says, man.
We have not been there yet. The big one is Frank Pepe's.
Yeah, man. I heard that place is...
Yeah.
Sagado's been trying to get me up there to go to that place in the worst. I heard that. Yeah. Have you tried that, Adriana, Pepe's?
No, but I'm like, I'm from New Jersey and I lived in New York City. Like, I just can't imagine that pizza is better.
You know what, Adriana? As you know, because you've been following us for a while, you know, I grew up in New York. I can't believe the good pizza I get in Jersey. I can't believe it. I never thought I was. But where were you in the city?
I was in East Williamsburg for a year,
Brooklyn
South
girl.
Williamsburg, and then the Upper East Side for a couple of years.
Brooklyn girl, huh?
I loved Brooklyn. I was kind of pissed to move to Manhattan, but
nice.
Williamsburg is built up. It's beautiful.
Places to live. Yeah, Williamsburg is really nice now.
They really built it up. It's unbelievable now.
Nice. Yeah,
it's expensive now, too.
Very expensive. Yes. Yes, it is. So, right, Adriana, listen, good luck. Good luck with everything. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
You got it.
Bye.
See you.
Bye-bye.
All right, I'm going to admit Todd now. Yeah. Having a little trouble hearing you, Todd.
I don't know where the microphone. Maybe there we go.
That's better.
Okay. Yeah, I just had to get closer.
Cool. What's going on, man?
What's up, Todd?
It's pretty cool to actually talk to you guys because I'm always working and now I'm on day shift, so it's pretty cool.
Nice.
What's up, man?
What's on your mind, dude?
Wait, what's on your mind?
When's the next Lombardi coming?
Jeez.
Not next year, Todd. Not next year, bro. I can tell you.
I was going to say take a 500 record, but we can't even do that now with an uneven number.
Hopefully, like 3-4 years, maybe.
Oh, God. Next Lombardi.
You know what, Todd? Let's see how this regime drafts. Let's see the foundation they lay out this year, right? Hmm. Let's see if we need a new quarterback. Let's see what Daniel does next year. You know, because if Daniel doesn't work out, now you have to draft a quarterback, which, you know, sets you back a few more.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
You know what, Todd? I think it's just safe to say it's not going to be next year. And you're hoping within the next, what do you think, Jerry, next 4 years, if they draft well this year and get it rolling with the quarterback, we'll see.
I'm always the idiot optimist. I'm the buffoon. Like, right away, I'm thinking, well, if we draft well at 5-7 and do well here and fix the line right away and all of a sudden draft a pass rusher, we can compete for the division. Like, that's just me being an idiot. But realistically, yeah, I mean, you're looking towards, obviously, we always say this, you're looking towards the following year, you know, 2023, to be more competitive. And then anything after that, you know, anything's possible. But
you know what, Todd, if there was a definite answer at the quarterback position, which Daniel's still a lot of question marks, let's face it, you know, it's a lot of question marks with Daniel.
Yeah.
If we had a franchise quarterback that we could say he's our guy for the next 10 years for sure, then Todd, I would say, you know what, give these guys a couple of drafts and give us a few years and we'll be shooting for that Lombardi. But he just can't say that right now, bro. Cannot say that.
Yeah, we don't have Joe Burrow, you know?
No.
No, we don't.
Unfortunately, we don't, bro. No.
We don't. So.
Where are you from, Todd?
Upstate New York, about an hour from Albany.
What part?
About an hour north of Albany.
Okay.
Johnstown.
Okay. I go hunting up in Sullivan County every year. Okay. Used to have property up there, but you're up way up past that.
Yeah. I'm up about an hour west of Saratoga, too.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
That's Francesca calls Saratoga.
Anything else in your mind?
Nah, man.
All right. So, all right, listen,
buddy.
Thanks for jumping in, Todd. Yep. Thanks, nice meeting you, brother.
See you, man.
You guys.
Take care, Todd.
Have a good one.
You too, man.
Take care.
I'm admitting Dubs dribble. Dubs!
That was cool.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, oh, beautifully.
Right on. Well, it's just because I got the gear. I sit in front of this computer for 12 hours a day.
Oh, work from home?
Exactly. So my sob story is that between work and home and personal, all that stuff, I've not had a chance. I haven't listened to the last two podcasts, so I'm not going to come on here and ask any. I'm planning on catching up this week.
Dubs, I'll be honest with you. You're like the only person based on the downloads we've seen. I mean, it has been incredible. Ratings gold, Syvertson and Saratoga, right, man. I mean, my God. But anyway, I ask what you want, bud. It's all good.
No, it's that awkward. Nobody was joining. I'm like, I guess I can come up with something.
You know what? I don't think people know how to because we have a lot of people in the audience.
Oh,
but
gotcha.
They're not clicking on call in. I don't know why. I guess people are shy or don't know how.
Yeah.
It took Adriana to tell everyone how to figure out how to do it. So Adriana had the stones to do it.
I would have watched either way. It's kind of cool to see you guys over the video in addition to the audio. But so my
oddball question is... maybe we should just do that as an option every time. Just have it live stream and people, cool. You know, whatever.
Yeah, we should, right?
I totally tune in.
Why not, right?
So my oddball question is yeah. I really enjoyed the halftime show at the Super Bowl, right? So my question for you guys is, what would your super group be in their heyday, not their old selves or our old selves now, but what would be your super group for the Super Bowl?
It's probably going to be the same for both of us, but I'll let Chris answer this.
Oh, without question, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not even a question mark.
Look, Chris and I agree on a lot of things, but there's some things we don't. That one's going to be an easy one. Of course, the set list would be different. I'll say that. Like, I would hope for the hey, what can I do? Chris is like, oh my God, that's 30th on the list. So the set list would differ, but we're both going to go Zeppelin. Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah,
I don't think there's any question about that, Dubs. It'd be Zeppelin.
Maybe Van Halen. You, bud? Maybe Van Halen could open for him. I don't know.
Right on.
Can you imagine, hey, Dubs, can you imagine like Zeppelin and like Eddie Van Halen joining Jimmy Page doing a few songs?
Yeah, see, that's the thing is that would just mind blown.
You talk about music, not this crap today. I don't know what the hell it is, but you know, you talk about just picture that, right? Just picture that Zeppelin doing a song, and here comes Eddie coming out, and they do a little like "How Many More Times Together" or "Days to Confuse" or something like that together. Can you imagine that, dude? Can you imagine
or
something like
crazy
that?
Like, I know it's overdone, but "Cashmere."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you, bro. Yeah, that would be something, you know. Hey, look, I gotta be honest with you. Who do you like, though? Like, who would your choice? Who would your choice be?
So the Super Bowl is kind of a tough nut to crack, right? So because you want to be able to get everybody, and I'm a little more up there in age and wisdom, whatever you want to call it. So I don't know. I'm same with you guys. The groups now, the halftime shows haven't really been my thing. But I think you kind of have to get multiple genres. And I thought, you know, what about the rap metal genre? So Run DMC and Aerosmith, Public Enemy and Anthrax.
Yeah, that was great. Bring the noise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it doesn't really fit, but kind of add in a little Rage Against
the Machine. I was going to say Rage Against the Machine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that yeah. fits there. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Dude, my podcast has everything.
That would be
from
good, bro. That would be
my,
good.
My podcast, my iPod. I still have an iPod. I don't care. I don't just go to Spotify because I'm particular with what I want to hear and you know the 75 versions of Thunder Road that I have on my iPod. But I listen to everything from like Frank Sinatra to Slipknot. So I have everything in between, dude. I love it all.
Right on.
There's not much I don't like. So anyway,
who's your favorite band? If you had to live on an island right now, and you know, what band would you bring? What music would you bring with you?
You know, that's pretty tough. This is going to be a little sentimental just because of what happened a couple weeks ago. It'd probably have to be Foo Fighters with the drummer passing away.
There you go.
That's a hard question to answer. There's so many different bands and genres, but that's...
How old are you, buddy?
I am 45.
Oh, I got 10 years on you. So I'm going back to, I'm like going back to Sabbath days, bro.
You're like me, Dubs. I'm 47.
Yeah.
I'm bringing Sabbath with me, brother. You know what I mean?
Well, so, and I had an older generation around me that introduced me to that type of, you know, all the classic, you know, rock and heavier stuff from the 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do have some of the music services, but it's the same thing. You just end up going back to the same old stuff.
Listen, anyway, Dubs, are you a Floyd guy?
I was for a long time, but it kind of got overdone between the movies and everybody else. I probably should go back and start listening to it again, but I have all of their music in my library. I just haven't listened to them in probably 15 years.
Chris,
oh
just
my
named,
God, what the hell's wrong with you, bro?
Chris just named the one. Chris
How
named
could
the
you
one,
not listen to Pink Floyd in 15 years? What are you losing your mind?
Chris just named the one band we are not going to agree with.
Yeah, no, Jerry, you don't have that state of mind for Floyd. I could tell that right away.
I do not. How'd you know that? How do you figure that? So,
because I've seen Floyd numerous times in concert. I could tell you Jerry Foley would never be at a Pink Floyd concert.
There it is.
Jerry doesn't have that state of mind. It's like you got to be like that certain state of mind to be a Floyd guy, you know. But
that's so true.
Yeah, no, Jerry. No, I can't see it, Jerry. So, hey, Dubs, what else is on your mind, brother? Nice hat. I like the hat.
Oh, right on. Yeah. You know, I just need to catch up as far as what's going on. I need to listen to those podcast episodes. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, we had two draft people on, and you're going to really like it, bro. You'll be caught up with the draft, and we're going to talk about the draft next week, obviously, as we get closer to it, bro. So you'll catch up. I'm a little pissed off that you haven't listened to the podcast, the last two podcasts.
Saturday is my day.
Yeah. I'm waiting for you, bro. So you'll catch up, man.
Yeah. I'm hopeful that Pettis, you guys mentioned Pettis earlier. I'm a UW guy, so we've seen a few UW people come through there, and nothing's really happening. Maybe it'll happen with Pettis. You know, Ross.
All right. So listen,
kind of showed us a little bit. We didn't get much.
Before we go, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. You ready?
Okay.
Go back into your archives. Get the Division Bell album. Okay, make sure you put High Hopes on when you're in the car at nighttime, and you just listen to David Gilmour on the steel guitar. You get back to me, brother, and tell me what the hell you've been missing. Okay,
right on. I will do that tonight.
Good stuff, all
right, brother.
Right on. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Keep on doing the good stuff.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk soon.
I'm hitting the button. Hang on.
Adriana's on Twitter. She's telling people what to do.
Oh, look at that. And now all of a sudden, I tweeted at her. I said, Adriana, please tell them what to do.
Yeah, she is. Adriana's. She's telling people what to do.
All right, let me. All right, so Carson Hageman. Hope I said that right.
Hey, what's up,
man? Hey, Carson.
Oh, this is a new one. We never had Carson
it's a
before,
great,
right?
It's a great first name, buddy. Hey,
thanks.
What's going on, man?
What's going on?
Not much. Yeah. Before my question, I want to make a confession. So I just graduated high school this past spring, and my graduation gift was my parents would take me to a Giants game, home Giants game.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
And so I got to pick from everyone this year, and this was in the summer, so I was like, you know, we're going to be pretty good this year. I think the Falcons.
Yeah.
You went to the Falcon game? Oh, yes. Gosh. Oh,
gosh. And for reference, we live about a half hour away from Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a fan.
Plus-hour drive, yeah.
So what? you're still thinking about Adoree Jackson dropping that ball in the end zone, huh?
just watching Kyle Pitts catch that on Jabril Peppers.
Mm.
Dude, what? Just watching everyone leave. It's just like.
Did you grow up there, Carson? How'd you become a Giant fan?
Okay, so this is funny. So my dad, growing up, he was a Colts fan, Peyton Manning fan.
Okay.
And randomly, one day, I'm just like, I'll root for Eli Manning. And I'm not sure. Let's see if I can get you. There's an Eli poster.
Nice.
Okay. There you go. Got it. Yeah, got it.
But you see that right there? That it's a glove and a...
Yeah, I see a glove. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was a preseason game in 2015, I think. We went down in Cincinnati, and the Giants were playing there. And... Odell threw a glove up. My little brother actually caught it, but it's nice. In my room. So.
Preseason games are great to catch that stuff for. I caught Seahorn's hat, Percy Ellsworth's glove, safety from a long time ago, and Ryan Phillips' glove. I was jumping over little kids. I was that guy. It was awful. But like Seahorn threw his hat, and I like leaped over people. So anyway, preseason. That's when you do it, buddy.
Yeah.
So what's up?
Yeah. Because, like, Falcons game, our seats were upper level, but I was standing there. We went down, and we didn't get any autographs, but, of course, we saw the guys. It was sweet seeing it. But,
nice.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Cool.
As a matter of fact, wasn't that one of the days that – was it Eli? Who was being –
It was Eli.
Eli, was right?
Yeah.
I chose it, but
– Oh, gotcha. Like, okay. Okay.
I didn't – you know, they lost, but
– Yeah, they lost for Eli. Yeah. Unbelievable.
The week before, I was watching the Washington game. Like, two back-to-back games. It's just...
No, brutal. Oh, God. But awful.
That about sums up the year, right, Carson, right there?
Yeah. Yeah. I love the Giants, man. I love the Giants, but it got hard to watch the past...
Oh, yeah. Right. No, we all feel the same way. Yeah, sure. Oh,
we've all been through it, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it starts turning around now with this new regime in here, so we'll see what happens. I know.
Better.
What's on your mind, bud?
So, I mean, no one had really asked. So, one position that I was kind of thinking of, no one really mentions it, left guard, or like, I mean, Glasgow.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Has kind of the right one. Do you think that comes from the draft or like a Shane Lemieux? Do I say Bredesen?
No. Don't say
No, don't say Bredesen.
You want to try first, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, Lemieux is going to get a look, obviously. He's, you know, he's healthy now. He's going to get a look. But and they went out and they signed a few guys, depth guys, you know, that are going to be giving a look over there in training camp. But I could see them. I could see them maybe addressing the draft, too, you know.
Early.
Early. So,
if Zion Johnson falls to round two, or Chris, the guy, who's the one you love, your favorite
Kenyon
guy?
Kenyon Green, but he won't. Yeah,
he won't.
Yeah.
But he say he does.
He should, but you never know.
And you took a right tackle at five and something else at seven, you know, especially if you got an edge rusher at seven and the guard is sitting there, you know, it's going to be hard for them to say, oh, yeah, no, Lemieux's our guy. So it's not a bad question, man. It's a good question. No, he's still a question mark, you know, huge question mark.
Yeah, we don't know what we have from Lemieux. He played a little bit, then he got hurt. You know, he looked all right at times. He's a road great. You know, he's good on a run block, but he's not very good in pass pro at all. And we just don't know. I mean, if no way you could look at him and say, okay, well, Lemieux's penciled in for left guard right now. No way.
Yeah.
You know, no way. So that's going to be a spot that veterans are going to compete or draft pick. Or even an undrafted free agent after the draft, some of these kids they bring in. Yeah. You know, it's going to be a lot of competition over there, of course. So I could not tell you who the hell is going to be left guard for them next year. It might not even – I mean, honestly, me hoping – I'm hoping he's not even on the roster yet. You know what I mean?
Same.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Nice. So.
All right, buddy.
Any good else, stuff?
I mean, maybe one more kind of. So, like, say, you know, we got Neil or Icky at five. Seven. If they have, you know, right here, Thibodeau and Sauce or kid from LSU, say they like him. What do you think they prioritize? Like corner or edge rusher?
Depends what happens with Bradbury too.
That's a great question.
Who the hell knows?
They need an edge.
I'm not gonna be. But you know what? You know what the beauty of it? We're just talking about it. I don't even care. I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
I'll take both.
I like any of them. I guess if I had to. Gun to my head, edge rusher, Thibodeau.
Yeah,
but
yeah, he's a freak.
But you know, if they took Stingley or Sauce, it's like okay, cool.
Yeah, yep. So yep, and they feel you know what, Jerry, they probably feel they could get a corner in the second round too if they went with Thibodeau. You know,
yeah.
And they try to address that in the second round. So, but you know what, Carson, another position they're going to have to draft, and Jerry thinks they're going to take. They're going to have to address, and Jerry thinks they're going to take two, and Jerry might be right. It's tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got to go. They need a tight end in this draft, bro. You know, one, maybe two.
Yeah.
Because right now, they are really thin at tight end. So it's going to be interesting to see what round they go with tight end. I think they're going to go one of the third round picks with tight end.
Too.
But we'll see.
It's not like, you know, you have a TJ Hockenson sitting there, you know, or, you know, whoever, like a good tight end. Like,
yeah, this is a
there's really, Chris, the guy you like the best, he's probably the only one that would go in the first round.
Yeah, I still got him. I know people got him going for. I'm still going to go second round with him, but we'll see. But this is a draft where there's no real standout tight ends, but there's a lot of pretty good ones. You know what I mean? So in middle round guys. So, like you said, Jerry, what's his name? He might be the only one that might. McBride.
McBride.
He might be the only one that goes late first, early second, and then the rest of them going to go in his third, fourth. You know, so we'll see what happens. But way to represent.
Nice job, Carson.
Buddy. Thanks. Way to represent the Giants there, buddy.
Mendy's trying back, so
we'll see if we get this turned around. Thanks a lot, Carson, man. Thanks for coming on, brother.
We'll see you guys. Cool talking.
Right, you
guys.
Too, man.
Take care, buddy. Ohio, baby. Nice.
Ohio, I like that. Represent the Giants.
All right, Mendy, trying again, round two. No, I can't hear you. Are we muted?
Really?
Yeah.
That's strange, huh?
Yeah, it is. Must be his mic. Mendy, we love you, buddy. I'm sorry.
Sorry, bud.
Mendy. Bye, buddy. This sucks. See you, pal.
That is going to be interesting, though, what he brought up about that left guard position. You know,
Obviously, he
addressed it. You know, Glowinski is going to be the right guard, and draft is probably going to be right tackle, Jerry. And Feliciano will start off at center, you know. And
it's another thing. Like, what right now, Chris, what's a bigger need for you, center or left guard?
I think Felicia will hold his own. So probably left guard, Jerry.
I'm surprised you said that. Okay.
Look, Jerry, I think somebody, you know, I think that position could be upgraded.
Yeah.
But I think he'll do enough to hold his own. I'm not a big look. Feliciano's just an average player, bro. I'm sorry. You know.
Right.
But there's no left. I mean, Lemieux's just an unknown right now. You know, Jerry, he's an unknown.
Yeah.
You know, so, and Feliciano, you know, he knows the system. He's a veteran. He could play center, even though he's been playing guard a lot, but.
Hey, all right, here we go.
Somebody's coming in now.
Dominic.
Dominic, hey. Hey, guys.
Dominic, nice what's up?
It's nice to see you guys again. I spoke to you guys, guys last year.
Yes.
So I was very positive going into the year as well. Mm. And I'm a little torn about which way the Giants should go this year. I love Thibodeau. I'll take any one of the left tackles, including Charles Cross, to play right tackle.
Yeah, it's another one. Good point.
But I'm torn if I'm a little bit jealous of the trade that the Eagles made. Because maybe the Giants, I don't want to trade down just to get another second or third round pick, but maybe I love Jones and I've been a defender of him since day one. But if he has a good year this year and the Giants top out at 9-8 or 10-7, best case, do you extend him and give him $30-35 million a year?
Jerry, I'm just gonna jump in.
Yeah, good.
Let me tell you something, Dominic.
Yeah.
If this team goes 10-7 or 9-8, like you just said, and Daniel has a really good year,
yeah,
Daniel's coming back, brother.
Yeah,
Daniel will be back. That would be a huge sign.
I love him, but I wouldn't, and I wouldn't admit this to any of my non-Giant friends or my friends that break my chops, you know, as you know. But the thing that worries me is that I feel like we didn't get the winning years that teams get out of the first 4 years of
totally.
Quarterback contract.
You're totally right.
So
totally
would it
right.
be better just to reset with because right now we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. Even if he's Joe Montana, they're 15 teams better than us. So would it be better to just reset? Hopefully, get a good quarterback who might be better than he was in year two, but we'll just have a better team around them and better coaching. So we get three good cheap years out of a rookie next year, or four cheap years. Well, let's assume next year that the rookie sucks, but 24, 25, 26, fourth year, getting cheap years but better teams. Is it worth it to pay him $35 million next year, or is it just better off to reset? I think that's the better call at this point.
Dominic. What if you reset to a mistake though, Dominic? What I mean, it could happen. Like I get what you're saying. I love what you're thinking, especially with contract wise. But what if you reset to, let's say, you just said the Eagles. What if you reset to Jalen Hurts? I'm not in love with Jalen Hurts. Like the worst thing you could do is actually go down from Daniel Jones, and it's not entirely impossible to do that. I do think, you know, look, the next year's crop is much better
thing,
than...
I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah, the worst thing you'll probably do is sign a guy long-term and be stuck with a Carson Wentz.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's a good point.
So what if he... As much as I love him, and I won't admit this to many people because I'm a Giants fan, but what if, even at his best... And I don't think the turnovers are as much of an issue anymore. It's more reading the field, making the right choices.
Yeah,
he's not fast with his eyes. Even at his best, is he better than Herbert, Burrow, Watson, Mahomes? We could go down the list. I would say about 12 like this are better than him. So do we want to pay? I feel like it might be a Kirk Cousins kind of situation. Even if he gets to that level, we're paying a guy that to be that. Or do we just take another shot next year? Hopefully we get a CJ Stroud or Bryce Young.
You're really going to have to see what happens this year, Dominic. I know that's a lame answer, but it's
question,
just
though,
it's
Jerry,
the truth, though.
Is it worth trading, see if we could trade back and get another first? Should we get another first this year?
It depends how far you go back, but absolutely, yes. And I think I would not be surprised to do that. I don't know if it's going to be Pittsburgh, but a team like maybe Seattle, right? What you want is for Carolina to not go quarterback. For your scenario, you don't want Carolina to go quarterback because then seven, the Giants can say, all right, quarterback teams, come get it. Come get your guy.
What you want is for a team to think that Carolina is going quarterback and maybe trade to five.
Yeah, but I don't know if the Giants are willing to trade out of five. You know what I mean? They might be. But I think they'd be much more willing to trade the seven.
If we don't trade back this year, it's an easy call, like you just said. You just wait and see what happens. But do we get proactive and try to get more ammunition in next year's draft and trade down? Is it a better option? Let's say we get a right tackle, fifth pick, Neal, Thibodeau, not Thibodeau, I'm sorry, Aquanu, Cross. Any one of the three.
Sure.
Seventh pick. Is it worth it to get a Thibodeau or a Gardner, or just trade down and have more ammunition to hedge our bet a little bit in case Jones sucks?
Mm-hmm. I think that's tough.
I think that's the better move. I mean, especially if it's to a team that, like you said, a Seattle, they're not going to be good next year. That's going to be a good pick. If it's a team like, I mean, a team like the Buccaneers won't trade down, but if it were a good team, then it's not worth it. But I don't know, because we're not winning next year. And yes, as good as Thibodeau can be, you can't win in this league without a quarterback. So that's my issue right now.
How far back would you be willing to trade? Well, Pittsburgh's like what, 20?
I think at this point they have to know in their heart of hearts how much confidence they have in Jones and how interested they are in doing this. And I think it doesn't matter how far back you go, because at that point, the decision is not made on what player you're getting for next year. It's based on, am I getting a first round pick? I think it's stupid to do it for another second, another third. We're not winning next year anyway.
If you're trading out at seven, you're getting a number one pick.
Yeah,
we have to get a number one. So I really wouldn't care, because at that point, even if we traded to 20, say, and we got that right guard you said from Texas A&M, Green, or we got Lindenbaum, now, okay, we really solved the O-line, and now we have Jones, I guess, but we have that ammunition for next year. And then worst case, if Jones ends up being good and he gets re-signed, then all right, we'll have to deal with pass rusher next year or cornerback next year. But I don't know. That other first-round pick is what really interests me right now.
Let me ask you this, Dominic. What if Daniel comes out this year and he has a 27-touchdown, 11-interception season, and he showed immense progress under Brian Daboll and his system? Would you want him back next year?
Then yes, you have no choice, even though you have to say, all right, well, you're not going to be that cute.
Now, just keep in mind, Dominic, one second, just keep in mind, they're going to be like $70 million under the cap next year, $60 million as of now, but go ahead.
No, I think that's a good point. If we were $70 or $60 million under the cap, then you do focus on building your team. You can build it more around free agency next year, and hopefully we would. If he did that and we drafted a 5 and 7, a right tackle and pass rush, you now do have a bunch of building blocks with Thomas.
Dominic, your biggest concern is that you don't want to give a kid like Daniel like $35 million, $33 million, whatever it might be. That's your biggest concern.
Yeah.
But like I said, if he has a real successful season and they win 9-10 games or 9-8 or 8-9, 10-7, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
1 year under Brian Daboll, and this is what he's shown. How good do you think he would be a couple of years under Brian
Daboll? Oh, he'd be great. Well,
what do you think? I mean, you think he'd be a very
biggest concern, right? I think he would be much better every year. My biggest concern is not really as much that. It's the fact that if he was mediocre and we ended up with the 9th pick and all these teams have multiple first-round picks, we got to get in that arms race for multiple first-round picks. If it ended up being that Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, or maybe someone else ends up being that good, and we have to jump in there. But my question to you, because I'm not in the inside, is it BS? Is it bullshit, or does is it BS, right, or do the Giants really, not John Mara? I know he loves Jones, but does Daboll and Daboll and Shane really like him?
Yes.
And were they? Were they hired by Mara because he wanted like confirmation bias, that he wanted someone
absolutely
that liked
absolutely not. Don't listen to the bullshit that's out there. Okay? Especially when it comes to John Mara. Don't listen to the bullshit that's out there. You know, you heard stuff about Judge took on Garrett, Mara forced him on him. It's so much crap that flies out there. That's not even remotely close to the truth. Yes, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, like Daniel Jones. They think he could be a very successful quarterback. Will that happen? We're going to find out this year.
I hope so. I love the kid. I root for him. I fight for him. Everybody's arguing. I just don't want to be a middle-of-the-road team. And that's kind of why, going into my next point, as much as I've watched Cincinnati a number of games and Sauce Gardner looks phenomenal, I'm not old. I'm only 34. I'll be 35 in a few months. But I watched and grew up around the two giant Super Bowls, the recent ones. I want Thibodeau. I want to get to the quarterback.
I know
the analytics these days says,
yeah,
you know, pass coverage is better than pass rush. I don't give a crap about that. If the Giants decide to, you know what, we're going to pick the best players available, unlike last year, we're not going to trade down because they passed on Slater and Parsons. It made me sick. I wanted them both. They decide to pick the best player available. I want Thibodeau at 5 or 7 because I don't give a crap what kind of corners you have. I watch the games every week, and if there's time to throw, these quarterbacks in the fire.
Oh, they're going to get open.
So, Dominic, you brought up a great point with pass rush. I always think about this. You had Kenny Phillips, first-round pick, Corey Webster, second-round pick, Antrell Roll, first-round pick from another team, Aaron Ross, first-round pick, right? Why did they win those Super Bowls?
Pass rush.
Right. So you even invested in that secondary, and it was okay. It was good. It wasn't Tuck.
It wasn't
Umanura, Strahan, Kiwanuka. I mean, that's why they won, right? So I agree with you. I think people who say because of the secondary, I don't buy it. The Giants laid the blueprint for success, then completely got away from it or missed on guys like Demontre Moore, you know, Jonathan Hankins, picks like that. And then the Eagles come along. I'm using them as an example because I hate them so much. They did the same thing the Giants did to the Patriots. They got pass rush. Like, that's the blueprint to win. So I agree with you. I think pass rush way more important than cornerback. But I'm just saying if they took Stingley or Gardner because maybe their pass rushers were gone that they wanted, I'm not going to be upset about it.
If the pass rushers are gone, but I don't want to hear that they didn't take Thibodeau because he's not – I don't know. He made a statement in the media or he did this. I don't want to hear that. If he, you know, because in the NFL, you win with special players. And if he has a chance to be Von Miller or something special, take a chance. Because last year, Parsons supposedly wasn't perfect off the field. And look what he did. Look how he changed that team.
Dominic, you saw the tweet I put my top 32 overall prospects, right?
I did, yeah.
I had Thibodeau number one, bro. And I don't hear anything. Look at me. Listen to me. I don't hear anything. I mean, that could change as I snoop around a little bit more asking people. But I don't hear anything coming out about, oh, this kid's got red flags. Or his interview scaring people.
What do you hear from the Giants? Who do you think that they like?
I don't know.
I know that Joe Shane did fly all the way there. He flew to Oregon.
Yeah, but they're going everywhere, though.
Oh, sure.
They got reps going all over the place.
Yeah, no, listen. I mean, how could you not like Thibodeau?
Yeah.
I don't know who's on their board, though.
Would it be a crazy thing if they drafted him 5 if there's 2 right tackles on the board and just...
We just said that before. Yeah. No, it could be a scenario where the 2 tackles are there and you might have Thibodeau at your highest on your board and it's like, well, you're going to get one of the tackles at 7 as long as you don't trade down. But that's the problem, though, right? Brings up your scenario that you just said, right, Dominic? You take Thibodeau and then at 7 you get a hell of an offer to trade back. Shoot, our Neil... Ikwanu and Cross going to be there at 20.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
They really like Trevon Walker too, Dominic.
They do.
Yeah.
See, I don't have anything against him. I don't really know him, but it was just hard for me. And I watch a few Georgia games. It's hard to see him stand out. There were so many good players in the defense.
Yeah, right.
He didn't stand out as much.
Dean stuck out the most.
You know what, Dominic? Trevon Walker as a kid wasn't high on my radar a few months ago until I started watching him on the All-22s.
Yeah.
When I started watching him on the All-22 film, Jerry, I'll tell you this. I tweeted, I said, whoa, this kid is just as good as Thibodeau. This kid is phenomenal. He was asked to do a lot of different things on the Kirby Smart, Dominic, where he might not be asked to do on the wink.
Yeah, well, of course.
You could agree or not agree. And I don't know what Joe Shane and his scouts and Dable are thinking. I will not ever be privileged to that board. Nobody could ever see that board. I mean, you have a better shot of penetrating the CIA than seeing that board this time of year, right? So the point I'm making, Dominic, is that I don't know. All I could tell you is that they really like Trevon Walker.
I would be happy with that because I when the draft comes, I usually, since I don't watch the film, I have a job. I don't have the time to like do that. I just look at what positions they draft early on and I say, all right, I'm glad they went with that spot, and I'll just trust that they picked the best guy there. And I don't want to break your heart. I want to stand your good side, Chris. I'm from New York as well, but I would where be a from? Little bit. I'm from the Bronx.
Oh, you're a Bronx guy? Wait, what part? Where are you from?
I'm at the end of the 6th train. I'm in Pelham Bay.
Pelham Bay. Oh yeah. My God. So,
I don't want to break your heart, but I would be a little upset if they took your boy from Notre Dame.
As great wait, as at 7? You'd be upset at 7?
I'd be upset at 5 for sure. As great as he might end up being. As great as he might end up being, I don't know if I want so much capital put into the safety spot. I think edge and pass rush are more important.
But I'll challenge you a little bit, Dominic. The comparison's being made to Ed Reed. It's not a sure thing.
I love Ed Reed. I love Ed Reed.
So, okay, do you take Ed Reed at 7 or 5?
Oh, then I guess you don't care. I get that point. But the thing
and again, it's not a guarantee.
I would take him over a guy who might be a pass rusher like Von Miller.
That's fair.
First, yeah. And I think I would go with Gardner first and Stingley first because you have to. But I know your face right now. You're like, you love him, but that's a spot. I think it's a similar spot to maybe taking Barkley too. I think that'd be a bad move. And what do you guys think about trading Barkley?
I don't
want
that.
No, we were just talking about it. We think it should happen.
I think it's possible. I think it could still happen.
Yeah. You think it could still happen? You think the Giants might do it?
I think that the Joe Shane, I think everybody knows, let's assume that this is probably going to be Barkley's last year. You see how many kids they're bringing in the building. Running
I was
back,
just about to ask that. Does the fact that they're bringing in James Cook and Brian Robinson mean anything for the top 30?
I think it really does.
Because
Jerry, you said that they have reps going to a lot of places, but you only allow 30 top 30 visits. So if they're picking two running backs, and I like Barkley. He seems like a great guy. He's really, really good player, but again, the contract. I don't think a running back is worth to pay that, even if he never got healthy. I mean, I'm sorry, even if he never got hurt, I think you're better off paying them $500,000 for the first 4 years and keep getting new ones every 4 years than doing that. And even if we get a fifth round pick, I'll take it. I'd rather just build the team differently than the way that Gettleman built it.
You do? Really? Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, final question. You know what? Dominic, final question. Did you have family back in Brooklyn? Did you have family in Brooklyn back in the day?
I never did. No, I never did. I actually dated a girl that lived in Marine Park when I was 22, but no, I don't have any.
Okay.
So I've been to Spumoni Gardens. I've been to Rolling Roaster.
Where do you live now?
I live in the Bronx.
Oh, you're still there? Okay. No, nice. I'm
still in Caggiano's a pretty common name. I was curious if you had family back
in I don't. Back in the day. I do not.
All right, brother. Nice talking to you.
It was nice talking to you.
Tommy, good stuff, buddy. Great call, man.
Guys, last year around this time, this is my favorite time of the year, draft time.
Yeah, a lot of people, man. A lot of people's favorite time of year.
Well, because it's everybody's dream job is to be a GM of a team.
You're right. And there's a million of them on Twitter. Right. There's a ton of them on Twitter this time of year.
Nice job, man. Good job, Dominic.
All right, Dominic. Take care.
Good stuff, dude.
Yep.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
all right.
New people, man.
Man, that's awesome. We'll do this again after the draft, maybe. We'll get some reaction. After we, you know, we'll do Saratella, we'll do Syvertson, and then maybe we'll have people call in. Maybe we'll do a couple podcasts that week. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, but, I might have to do two that week. Yep.
Dude, this one was an hour and 20.
Yeah, what fast stuff. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. Hopefully, we'll work out some of the kinks for the next time.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know. Adriana had to tell everybody. Then once she did, 3 or 4 people popped up. So nice job by Adriana Iafola.
Thank you, Adriana. Yeah, nice meeting you too, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I see her a million times on Twitter. Finally put a face to the Twitter account, you know?
Yeah, nice. All right, anything else, bud?
No, we'll talk next week. More about draft.
Yep, all draft all the time, buddy. All right, guys, Twitter subscription to The Giant Insider. Go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys. Remember, Sundays are Giant Days, baby. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.